So last week we talked about power, right? We started talking about power because, well, that's something that as we got towards the end of our travel through the Sermon on the Mount and also the end of our book study this summer, power was something that came out in some of our discussions and power that we take for granted so often. That belief that we have power, we, you know, individually, have power given to us, granted to us by God through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And part of that unbelief or a little bit of doubt or whatever it may be, was actually believing the things that we read, that the powers that we have as they're put forth in the Bible. And I wanted to carry that through because that was all that you have power given to you by God, your Creator. And I wanted to carry it through for one more week. And this was my plan all along. And I was like, oh my gosh, oh, how's this, you know, everything that happened yesterday. And I'm like, how I'm talking about power in unity now, power together. So I had to tweak it a little bit, but we need each other now so much. Everything that was shared just this morning, and then we've got plenty more opportunities to share more and more of this stuff, these memories and these fondnesses of this, but then also these opportunities to come together. We have a family that needs to be wrapped around with much, much power that comes through us and that's granted to us. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So we're going to talk about more power. You know, our God is all-knowing and ever-present, all-powerful. And in His infinite wisdom, and He is ever-present in our lives in so many ways. And one of those ways is bringing us together, gathering us together in His presence, in His house. But, you know, God's house is a pretty big place, right? He built everything. Next weekend, we're not going to have a roof over our head as long as it doesn't rain. You know? And we're still going to be in God's house, gathered together. There's power in that. But gathering us together, unifying us, and His power is displayed through that unity. So I got a lot of scripture for you guys this morning on unity. And we're going to start in Ecclesiastes. And as I was going through this, I was realizing, you know, I've probably never drawn from Ecclesiastes before in a message. So Ecclesiastes 4, verses 7 to 12 says, "Again, I saw vanity under the sun. One person who has no other, either son or brother, yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, 'For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure?' This also is vanity and an unhappy business. But then two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." This scripture just pounded into my head. Togetherness. So we're going to break this down a little bit, but let's look at this first fellow that he talks about here. In a solitary life, one toils and toils and works and works and works and works, but to what end? It says that he works and works and works. He has nothing. He has nobody to share the spoils of his labor, the fruits of his labor with. I was reminded of, you know, a few weeks ago when I talked about the storing up treasures on earth, you know, and the parable that Jesus told about the man who, you know, had a very fruitful endeavor in his farm, and right, and he said, "I'm going to build bigger barns and put all my stuff in it and get more and more and more stuff and then take it easy." Thinking about me type of stuff.
He wasn't thinking about glorifying anyone but himself. And those toils were for naught for him because what? He says, how does he know that his life would not be taken tonight as it was for that guy? He says, but for what gain is all of this done? So there's no family or friends to share with. In fact, he says, I saw it all vanity. What's vanity all about? When you think of vanity,
yeah.
How do I look? Right? I mean, that's one of the things you think about, right? Pride. It's prideful. Now, vanity, you know, everything has its good and bad, but he's talking about vain, vanity, prideful existence. But if you're doing something in vain, there's something else there too. It's worthless. You know, do not take the Lord's name in vain. Don't ascribe something to the Lord's name that is worth nothing. That's what he's talking about there. Devaluing God's presence. So this is fruitless work that he's talking about because he's not sharing it. He's not glorifying. This is all about me. This is all about me. There's nothing to share in there. So for what good? What purpose? What about the life of unity, though? They have a good reward for their work. And there are some obvious advantages to working together, right? If you're working on building a house together, you know, and you got a whole bunch of guys together, I think of an Amish barn building. They can put up a barn in how long? How quick? They can get that thing up and structured pretty quick. I know that there was a barn that ended up down the road from us that seems to have gone up pretty quick. But there's more to it than that, too. Because the other thing that came to mind for me was a long, hard day baling hay, which I haven't done in years, by the way. But when you've got a group of guys, a day of baling hay is still a long day for everybody, right? But what about when you've got camaraderie? When you're there with guys that you like and friends, you know, I was thinking fondly on that, especially, you know, I used to bale hay in the summer for Bill Barber. Bill just passed away, what, a couple weeks ago or so, you know. And, you know, those were some long, hard days. But I was with my buds when I did it. And it makes an entire difference when we're doing things together. It's more than just sharing the burden and lightening the burden by taking some of that work. It's also making the burden lighter by just our presence together. We're two lie together, you know, they'll keep warm. And the one who lies alone, how can they get warm? Boys, my polar bear guys. Right? If you're sleeping by yourself in a polar bear camp out, how cold is that? Miserable. When you've got scouts piled on top of each other, how was it? They come out sweating out of this tent, and it's 17 degrees outside, okay? This is the kind of stuff that we're talking about, is coming together for a common good. Through Ecclesiastes. How does this whole thing apply to our faith? So these are worldly examples. What about our faith? Because the preacher, which by the way, Ecclesiastes, that's the author, calls himself the preacher. I think there's more to the story here than just, you know, building a barn, baling hay, and sleeping in a tent in the winter. How does this apply to our faith? What about the solitary life, that solitude of our faith? Can you believe in God on your own without any involvement with anybody else in your life? Yes, of course you can. Yes, absolutely. I'm not going to deny it. What's wrong with it, though? What are you denying yourself of? You're denying yourself of the greatest resource that God has to give us, and that's each other. And it's a prideful thing. It goes back to that vanity thing. It's a prideful thing. Saying, well, I can believe in God on my own. I don't need you. I don't need anything. Well, God says we do. We see it over and over and over again in Scripture. And when we come together in our scripture, and are two better than one, we build each other up. That's the purpose of the church, by the way, is building one another up in our faith. Finding new ones out there that need to be shown what faith is all about and building them up so that they can go out and build people up. Does that sound familiar? Go out and make disciples that make disciples. This is a together thing. This is a unity thing. Go back in Ecclesiastes. This is wisdom literature that's packaged with Psalms and Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes. So it's not like it's something new. A three-strand cord, three-fold cord in this one, not easily broken. Because, you know, life's going to throw pretty nasty darts at us once in a while. But when we've got a support group of friends, family that we're called into, keep you from backing down. As I mentioned last week, what? We've got God, we've got Jesus right behind us too in that power, helping us, holding us in place. Where is God's presence in a family, in a unity like this? It's in everybody else. God's greatest presence to the world is through His believers. Through His believers that come together in fellowship. So you'll get through it together. So two are better than one. And even more better. Or more even better, I should say. We learn from each other through experiences. That's the other thing. We have so many experiences that we can share amongst each other, you know, in our faith and in our courage and in the things that we've gone and done. Hey, I was out the other day and this happened to me. A friend of mine in Toledo, you know, shared, this was a few years ago, his daughter wanted to help out this homeless guy on the road, standing on the side of the road. So they went and got him something to eat, and he went and ministered to the guy while he gave him the food. And it was his little daughter's idea. And he shared it with me. I'm like, that's awesome. I still remember this thing from like 4 years ago. Because 4 years ago is when this started. You guys realize that, right? I've been standing up here for almost 4 years doing this, and I hit him up that day. I said, I want to talk about something, and I want to use you as an example. And he's like, do it, Jake. This is how we share examples of each other, build one another up, because we have unity, even if we're a couple hundred miles apart or 100 miles apart, whatever it may be. We're unified in the Spirit. Things that we share together. You know, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We test each other. We build each other up. We hone our skills. We hone our wisdom. We make each other better. How can you do this shared experiences thing in a solitary life? You can't. You can just get other people's opinions. We get a lot of book learning, and that's great. We all need a lot of book learning. But we need a lot of well-developed three-dimensional faith that comes from experience through others. I need to know your experiences. I want to share mine. Because that way we're better together than we are alone. We build up one another. Through that learning, through that lifting up. So by helping and guiding each other along our paths and our common path. Because we all have separate paths in our ministries. Never would have thought mine would have ended up here. I'm sure some of y'all thought the same thing. Probably wouldn't have thought that yours would have ended up where yours is either. You know, we all end up on certain paths, you know. Evan had an opportunity here recently for something, and he says, I don't know if I should do this or not. It might interrupt my other plans on something that he's got for his future. I said, dude, you don't know where your path's going to lead you. I said, go for it. Didn't work out. That's okay. Tried. You don't know where your path is going to lead you, or where which one's going to be where I need to stand today. But we encourage one another when things seem hard. We come alongside each other, not with sugar-coated scripture or, you know, canned condolences. We're talking about the real deal. Real necessary relational deals here. Because we've done this thing together and we know what people need when we know them. And we're talking about real honest caring and concern. And we comfort one another. And this goes along with those tough times that come in along the way. When members of our family are grieving, they don't grieve alone. They don't grieve alone. I mean, this is where we started way back at the beginning of the summer with the Sermon on the Mount, the blessed are, the Beatitudes. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And yet Jesus was talking about, you know, we should be mourning of our sinful condition, our previous sinful condition, and be in mourning for everything that we've done. But you know what? We can take this literally too. Those people in our lives that are mourning, they will be comforted because we will come alongside them. Because we're mourning too. Shared experiences. Commonality. It's called unity. There's power in that unity. There's all sorts of mourning. And through them all, they shall be comforted by a powerful, ever-present, loving God. And the family that of believers that He's gathered around those folks. It's all powerful. That's His presence in our lives. I want you to look at the unity here in Hebrews 10. It's 19 through 25. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed pure with water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another. That's one that we kind of take out of context once in a while, I think, on the stirring up. But anyway, the stirring up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You guys see all of the plurality in that passage? The us's, the we's, the ours, the one another's, and then the encouraging one another all the more. This just drips with plurality, with unity, with people, with togetherness. And did you also catch that confidence thing? We have confidence. There's a power. Power in belief, power in faith, power in hope. We have that. That speaks of assurance. That speaks of power that we have in our faith, being bound in faith to Jesus Christ together. That we're faithful in Him because He is faithful in us. Or because He is faithful. But He's faithful in us too. If you have a group of people bound by God, by a common Savior, by a common faith, what do you call that? What do you call something like that? A common faith. People bound by a common faith and Savior and belief. Christina's smiling because she doesn't want to say. She doesn't want to be wrong. Come on. You won't be wrong, will you? Family, absolutely. That's a family. It's a bond. Does your family annoy you once in a while? She acted like she knew that wasn't going to be a wrong answer. Did you notice that? Wow. I'm glad she wasn't talking about me. We'll go with that, right? Yes, of course we get on each other's nerves and we annoy each other once in a while and stuff like that. I mean, we don't love each other, right? We're good? Okay, we're good. All right. Yes. So there's still power in this unity. Forgiveness covers a multitude of sins, it says in Scripture as well. You know, Jake may have bugged me today, but I'm going to forgive him because, you know, it covers a multitude of sins. Yeah, that's called a family. Excuse me. And if God is for that family, who can stand against it? See, the writer, the preacher here, gives us some advice. Is consider ways to stir up one another to good works. And I'm glad he threw in good works there. You know, like I said, we do a pretty good job of stirring one another up sometimes, egging each other on. But he says to good works, to things that matter for the kingdom. Those other things are good too once in a while to do some ribboning, but to lift each other up and to stir them together for good works. In other words, if we see a brother or sister that's idle, I-D-L-E, not I-D-O-L, idle, or needing a little push, that's our job to do so, to stir them up, say, I've got something going on. Why don't you help me? Come alongside me in this. Or better yet, can I come alongside you in this, to come together to strengthen that relationship and that faith in Christ. If we're considering ways to stir up one another, that means that we're thinking about each other. And let me ask you something. If your line to God, is your line to God ever really closed? This is something that kind of hit me, you know. Like it says, consider ways to stir one another up. And if we're thinking about others, this is going to hit me. Is your line to God ever really close? It's like I'm saying my morning prayers, my evening prayers, a prayer, and I say, okay, amen. Hang it up. Does it work that way? So if I'm thinking about somebody, how to stir them up, or I've got somebody on my heart or on my mind because of what's going on in their life or something like that, is that part of that open line to God? This is one of the things that I think that Paul means by, you know, be continuously in prayer. If you're thinking about them and thinking about their good and thinking about, you know, your friends, your family, and people that you care about like this, that is an open line to God, and you're praying for them without even realizing it, which is kind of cool. So now I want you to realize it, which because it'll be even cooler. That open line is always open, and He knows your hearts and your thoughts and your mind, everything that's going on. So you're continually praying for them. So if you're considering one another, encouraging one another, thinking about one another, can you consider that a method of prayer? Yep. There's some other great advice here as well. It says not neglecting to meet together. So God's Word is a means for Him to gather Himself, or us to Himself. But it also means for us to gather together, fellowship together, to just come together. There's so much togetherness in all of this in Scripture over and over and over again. Gather my people. Take them out into the wilderness to worship me, He says. You know, the beginning of Exodus. What about Acts? It's still Hebrews. What about Acts? And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, coming together. What about Matthew 18:20? It says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. I'm with you all the time. Don't get me wrong, he says. be one-on-one. It can be one-on-one with Pam or Joan or, you know. But when two or three come together in my name, you know, I'm there as well. He says, you don't have to have a huge, big group of people for God to show up. I'm there even in the small parties, is what he's saying here. But come together. Come together. Being united in Jesus means being united with Jesus. Are you seeing the power of that unity? And Ephesians 2 says, so that you are no longer strangers and aliens. You're no longer individuals. You're no longer not part of this thing. He says, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You're mine. We're gathered together inside this big household, this big family of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into the holy temple of the Lord. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The Spirit dwells within each and every believer of Jesus Christ. And together, now we are a temple, because if the Spirit, if God is dwelling within you through the Spirit, you are a temple. But you know what? We're all like bricks of a much, much larger temple together. Being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. The Spirit drawing us together. Powerful building with a cornerstone. Oh yeah, Jesus is the cornerstone. Pretty solid foundation. Excuse me. We're fellow citizens of that heavenly kingdom and members of the household of God, built together into that dwelling place. And I want to close with one more. It's a prayer of Jesus's, and it's one that really makes me think, because He's praying for us. Because He says, I do not, this is John 17, 20 to 26. He says, I do not ask for these only. In other words, I'm not just asking this for the guys that I have got right here in front of me. You know, the Peter, James, John, James, Judas, all Andrew, Philip, you know, all those guys. I'm not just talking about them. He says, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. He's praying for us right there. And he says, just as you, that they may all be one, he wants us to be. He says, so who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, and I are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. That's it? Oh, nope, there's more. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and will continue to make it known, that the love for which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. He talks in circles a little bit there. But think about all that. Jesus is praying to His Father in heaven, our Father in heaven, for us to come together, that they may be perfectly united, perfectly one. They know me because I've told them about you. That they may all be one. He says that twice. That they may all be one. And then he says that they may be perfectly one. He says it once. Jesus is praying that we may be united with each other, with Him, and with God. And that we may also be with Him where He is. Now, he says, I want them to be with me where I am. What is that? It sounds an awful lot like heaven to me. heaven on earth and heaven in heaven. Gather them together. There's plenty of room at the table. My Father's house has many rooms, he says. And as my kids like to say, even a hut in heaven is better than a mansion in the other joint. Right? So, he wants us to come together and be united with him. And that we may be with him where he is. And we have Jesus on our side, remember? And wanting us all as a part of that great big family. This great big family that cares for one another, that comforts each other, that seeks those that are in need of care and comfort, and welcomes them into the family. This is all part of the deal. This is all part of what we signed on for. We didn't sign on for a hermit life of solitary confinement in our faith. We signed on to join something much, much bigger. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the power that we have from you in our lives. But the big power that we have together when we come together and when we worship you together and remember and realize how great this big family is that you've called us into. And that together we are so much better than we are alone. Even just a few of us together. So Father, help us remember that and just be that powerful presence in your creation as we come together and just try and do your will and do your work, those things that you've called us to do, to step out and care for others. Care for each other, our wants and our needs and things going on in our lives with our fellow brothers and sisters, but then also step into those lives of others that don't know you yet. Following that command to go and make disciples that make disciples and growing this family exponentially, growing this church, your church, the global church of God. And Father, we thank you for this time this morning, just exploring that and seeing all of the ways that we're joined together and what that means to be joined into your presence, your spirit, and having you dwell within us. We thank you for that. We ask your help in remembering all this and putting it to work in our lives and seeing the many, many, many blessings that are out there when we submit to your will. We thank you, we love you, and we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died a death to bring us all to you, but to bring us all together as well, to cover our sins and to bring us in that bond of salvation. And it's in his name we pray this. Amen.